KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's cloudy and 51 degrees. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with scattered light rain, a high of 67. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Authorities in Creston report a woman was arrested Sunday morning on a drug charge. 40-year-old Julianne Edsel of Creston was arrested in the 100 block of East Taylor Street at around 12:24 a.m. on a possession of controlled substance methamphetamine charge. Creston Police K-9 Jax assisted in the arrest. Edsel was taken to the Union County Jail and later released on a summons to appear in court. A pedestrian was struck by a vehicle and killed in Des Moines Sunday morning. Des Moines PD said the crash happened around 8:15 a.m. in the 1700 block of Beaver Avenue. Officers found the 38-year-old victim deceased at the scene. The woman's name has not yet been released. Her dog also died in the crash. The driver of the vehicle that hit the pedestrian abandoned his vehicle and fled the area, but police found him nearby and arrested him without incident. He was identified as 49-year-old Jason Robert Sassman of Des Moines. Sassman faces charges of first-degree murder and animal neglect. Authorities say Sassman was driving a pickup truck northbound on Beaver Avenue at a high rate of speed. The vehicle left the road, struck and severed a utility pole, and continued driving through residential yards and onto the sidewalk, where it struck and killed the female pedestrian and her dog. The incident remains under investigation. A motorcyclist being pursued by law enforcement died Saturday night when the 2004 Honda he was riding collided with the rear of a pickup truck in Polk County. The Iowa State Patrol says 21-year-old Aaron Bjork of Des Moines died at the scene of the crash. It happened between Altoona and Mitchellville. He was not wearing a helmet. The accident occurred on westbound Interstate 80 near mile marker 146 at around 8:23 p.m. Saturday. When the cycle struck the rear of the pickup rear-ended a Jeep. Neither the driver, both of whom were from Colfax, were injured. The State Patrol was assisted at the scene by Mitchellville EMS and Altoona Fire and Rescue. Well, the USDA recently approved the state's plan for hemp production, and producers can now start applying for a hemp license. Robin Prusiner is overseeing the plan for the state ag department and says a public hearing Wednesday is the final step.
We will have one more public hearing on this latest set of rules, and then they should go into effect April 8th without any more hiccup.
The public hearing is set for from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time via teleconference. You can participate by calling 866-685-1580 and entering code 000-999-0941 hashtag or pound if you will. This information still under the news story and at KJAN.com in case you need that number again. Prusiner said the USDA approved the plan pretty much as it was presented.
There were some minor changes. I would call it wording changes, and they wanted us to carry over a few sentences that were actually in the statute, and they also wanted them in the rules. So those were our biggest changes. I think from someone who might be looking at hemp, they're not going to see anything major here that impacts them as they move forward with their plans.
She says all the information to apply for a hemp license is online.
There will be an application form that can be downloaded from our website, and you'll need to fill that out. And then the key personnel and anybody with 5% or more legal or equitable interest in that hemp crop will need to submit their official fingerprints to us, so that we can do the FBI background check that is required.
Governor Kim Reynolds signed a hemp bill into law around 1 year ago, and it has been touted as an alternative crop for Iowa farmers. Prusiner says a lot has changed in the time the rules have been developed since the bill was signed into law.
Nothing is ever simple, I think, in this world. And there's a lot of, I don't know if you call them urban myth or rural myth out there about the enormous amount of money that can be made growing hemp. And maybe that might have had a little tinge of truth to it a few years ago when not many people were growing it.
She says you really need to review the market before moving forward.
I think anybody who is considering getting into this business needs to take a hard look at some of the price reports and stock reports that are available out there. My number one piece of advice is that no one should plant hemp unless you already have a contract to sell it, because of the oversupply issues that have reared up here in the last year.
She said she's had a lot of calls when the bill was first signed into law and still gets calls from people interested in growing hemp, but she isn't sure how many people will be willing to jump into the hemp market.
It's too early to tell, and for several months I've answered that question the exact same way, and I say that I'm pretty sure it's going to be more than 3 licenses, but less than 3,000.
Detailed instructions on how to apply for a hemp license are available at iowaagriculture.gov/hemp. The commercial hemp production program does not legalize the use of cannabis oil or CBD for human consumption, extraction, or processing in Iowa. Officials at the Orange City Tulip Festival have decided to cancel this year's event due to the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Dennis Morris reports from Lamar's.
This is not the first time that the Tulip Festival has been canceled. Back during World War II, the event was also called off. Tulip officials say that they want to pause to take care of each other and to find creative ways for the spirit of the festival to live on. In addition to celebrating the 80th annual Tulip Festival, the town of Orange City was also going to celebrate its sesquicentennial. Both celebrations were scheduled for May 14th, 15th, and 16th.
An Iowa-based furniture manufacturer has laid off 40 workers at its Dubuque corporate location. A letter recently sent to Dubuque City officials from Flex Steel Industries says the temporary layoff was effective March 23rd and is expected to last 3 months. The affected positions are primarily in sales, customer service, and other corporate functions. The letter said the layoff is in direct response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the outbreak's effect on Flex Steel's business. On March 24th, the company announced it was shutting down its Dubuque manufacturing plant for 2 weeks. The company has about 150 production workers at that Dubuque plant. Officials at the Sanford Health Plan say the insurance carrier is waiving all out-of-pocket costs for COVID-19 treatment through the end of May. The health plan will cover all costs for testing and treatment of its members, including outpatient care and inpatient hospital stays. And it applies to all fully insured group and individual plans for its customers in North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. Out-of-pocket costs include medical copays, deductibles, and co-insurance charges related to treatment of COVID-19. The announcement from Sanford Health Plan follows a similar move earlier in the week by Blue Cross Blue Shield plans in those same four states. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said he's worried that neighboring states have yet to issue stay-at-home orders to try and slow the spread of the coronavirus. North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa were among a handful of states that did not have statewide orders in place as of Friday afternoon, and for that matter, through this weekend. Governors from those states have said they put a number of safeguards in place and many businesses are shut down. Walz said it's likely that he will extend Minnesota's order until the end of April. Pioneer Press reports that Walz said the state's residents are saving lives by following the rules that have been set into place. And a reminder for patrons of the Audubon Community School District, the Audubon School Board will hold a special meeting via Zoom this evening at 7 o'clock. The session will include a public hearing on and approval of the proposed fiscal year 2020-21 budget. They'll also take action on approving a pre-levy issuance resolution. Afterward, the Audubon School Board will move into an exempt session for the purpose of strategy discussion and with regard to negotiations with employees not represented by a collective bargaining unit. The board will then return to an open session and act on approving raises for those employees. The public will be allowed to attend the hearing in person, but due to the COVID-19 precautions and the governor's declaration, the hearing will be limited to 10 participants, with preference going to board members and other people necessary to conduct the hearing. Members of the public are urged to attend via Zoom using the link that is provided in this same story on a news page at KJAN.com. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.